The 10th parak focuses on what is referred to as matanos, which is one of the forms of gifts that are given to the Kohanim, and it's actually based on a pasuk in Devarim, parak yudchet, pasuk gimel, that if you want to shecht an animal for yourselves, not talking about karbanos, but if you want to do a shechita on a shor or a seh, on a sheep or a goat, there are three parts of the animal that have to be given to the Kohen. Benasan la kohen hazroa v'alechayayim v'hakeva. The zroa is the foreleg in particular. It's the right foreleg that goes to the kohen. The lechayayim, the jaws, the jaw area of the animal. And also the keva, which is the stomach, referring to the maw, which is the fourth stomach of animals that chew their cud. So that is given to the kohen as well. So those, that's a group. Those three go together. The zroa, and this is how our Mishnah Aleph starts. Hazroa v'lechayayim v'akeva. This mitzvah, when you shecht an animal, you have to give those three parts to the kohen. Nohagim ba'aretz uvechutzalaretz. This is noheg, whether in Eretz Yisrael and outside the land of Israel. It is not a mitzvah satluyas ba'aretz that applies only in the land of Israel. It applies worldwide, bifnei abayis, v'shalo bifnei abayis, whether we have a base of mikdash or we don't have a base of mikdash. B'chuli navalo b'mikdashin, it applies to your animals, but non korban animals, not to animals owned by the Beis Hamikdash. So bechulin, yes, your own animals that you're doing shchitan for your own eating, but not mukdashim, but not those animals owned by the Beis Hamikdash. We would have thought that it does apply to the korbanos as well. We would have thought it applies to the animals brought in the Beis Hamikdash as well, and we would have had a kal v'chomer to teach us that. Shahaya bedin, we would have said kal v'chomer if you have to give these matanos, these three parts of the animal, to kohanim when talking about your own animals that you want to shecht and have a barbecue with. Kal v'chomer for animals that are mukdashim, that are from the Beis Hamikdash. What would be the kal v'chomer as follows? Shahaya bedin, we would have said kal v'chomer uma im hachulin, when it comes to chulin animals, your animals, she'enan chayavim b'chazeh v'shok, that when you shech them, you do not have to give the chest and the thigh to the kohanim. That is a concept that exists for korbanos. When you bring certain korbanos, for example, a korban shlamim, those are two parts that go to the Kohen. You have to give the Chazeh and the Shok. So we would have thought that when it comes to Chulin, that you don't have to give the Chazeh and Shok to the Kohen, but you do have to give the Matanos. Chayavim b'matanos. You have to give these three areas, the foreleg, the jaws, and the stomach. Kodshim. When it comes to korbanos, that you are obligated to additionally give the chazeh and the shok, the chest and the thigh, shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer? Shouldn't we say kal v'chomer if you have to give the chazeh and shok to the kohen when it's from its korban? Certainly you have to give these other three parts as well, Talmud Lomar, but the pasuk tells us otherwise. The pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Zayin, Pasuk, Lamed Dalid Va'eten Osam L'Aharon HaKohen U'Levanav L'Chokolam, talking about the Chazeh Neshok when coming from a Korban. It'll be those parts that have to be given to Aaron and his children for all generations. And the limud is as follows, Va'eten Osam. Those parts, talking about the Chazeh Neshok when it comes to Korbanos, those parts have to be given to the Kohanim. But that's a miyut. We're going to learn from that. It's only those Osam. Those have to be given, but nothing else. So this pasuk is coming to teach us that even though you would have had the kal v'chomer to teach that when it comes to korban, you also have to give the zroa l'chaim l'keva, that is not correct. It's only the chazeh and shok that have to be given, but not the zroa l'chaim l'keva. Ein lo ela masha mor b'inyan. We're coming to learn from the word osam that it's only what is dictated in the pasuk itself. The pasuk, when talking about korban, it says that you have to give the chazeh and shok. That's it. That osam is limiting everything else, so that would exclude the zroa and the lachayim and the keva that only have to be given to the kohen when you are shechting chulin, but not when you are shechting mukdashin. Mishnah Beis is a fairly complicated Mishnah, following up on Mishnah Aleph, talking about the mitzvah of the matanos, the various parts of the animal that are given to the kohen. So what we saw in Mishnah Aleph that we're building on is that that mitzvah of the matanos, the zroa, the chayim, and the keva applies if the animal that's being shechted is chulin, but not if the animal being shechted is a korban, an animal that was hekdesh, that was donated to the Beis Hamikdash. So what we're going to talk about in Mishnah Beis is If we have an animal that indeed was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, but it has a mum, if it has a permanent blemish in it, which category does that fall into? Is it still treated like a korban? And accordingly, there's no mitzvah of zroa l'chaim and keva? Or, on the other hand, because it has a blemish that invalidates it from being brought as a korban, does it fall into the camp of chulin, and the mitzvah of the matanos does apply to it? And what's going to be interesting here is we're going to divide up, and this is going to be critical. We're going to divide up between when did that mum, when did that physical blemish happen to that animal? Did the animal get donated to the Beis HaMikdash first, and only thereafterward did it have that mum, that blemish? So when it was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, it took on the status of Kedushas Haguf, which means that animal has physical sanctity to it. Or is it the reverse situation, that first it had a mum, and thereafterward that animal was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash? And as the Bartanura explains, it's like giving a donation of wood to the Beis HaMikdash, because it cannot be used as a korban. And accordingly, if it only has what's called kedushas damim, it has monetary sanctity, but the item itself isn't kedushas haguf, it doesn't have physical sanctity. Now, a major ramification that will impact our Mishnah when something is kedushas haguf or something is kedushas damim is when you redeem it. Because if an animal could have been brought in theory as a korban, but it has this mum to it, so it can't be used anymore in the Beis HaMikdash was a korban, so you're going to go and redeem it. And once you redeem it, you give money, the Kedusha transfers over to the money. So typically we would say that the animal is now chulin. It is now desanctified, and you can bring it, you can do what you desire with it. But that, truth be told, is only the case if that animal had kedushas damim. If it had kedushas damim and you redeem it, that animal becomes chulin in all respects. And you can do whatever you want, and you can use the milk, and you can work that animal, and you can shecht it, and et cetera, et cetera. But if it's the type of animal that had kedushas haguf, for example, as we mentioned before, so you donated it to the Beis HaMikdash before the blemish, and thereafterward it had the blemish, so that's Kedushas Haguf, and you redeem it then, so it doesn't become chulin for all purposes. We have certain restrictions on that animal that continue for it. So Mishnah Beis, we're going to divide up our situation. If we have this animal, and we're going to talk about it had a mum, but it depends, when did that mum befall that animal? And we're going to start out with the Reisha, of Mishnah Beis, as Kol HaKodshim Shekada Mum Kavura LeHekdeshan. We're talking about that the Mum Kavua, that permanent blemish that invalidates it to being brought from a korban, that happened before it was donated. So when it was donated, it only had Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Haguf. It only had monetary value, and thereafterward, V'niftu, it was redeemed. When it's redeemed and it only had Kedushas Damim, that animal becomes totally chulin. The money takes on the sanctity, the money will be used to buy a korban, another animal to use as korban, but the animal that had the blemish, because it had the blemish originally, and then it was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, so when somebody redeems that animal, it becomes totally deconsecrated, it's totally chulin, and there are a number of ramifications for that. Accordingly, because it's chulin, chayavim bebechorah, if the firstborn of the animal is a bechor, is a male, is a male bechor, if it, that animal, that's the first baby it's having, and it's a male, so you have to give that bechor to the kohen, and it's brought, if it's not blemished, it's brought as a korban on the mizbeach, etc. So because this animal is now chulin, it's chayev bebechor. And number two is it's chayev bematanos. That's what we were talking about. That's what our parak is about. It only applies to a chulin animal. As we saw in Mishnah Aleph, a chulin animal, you have to give the matanos. If it's a hektesh animal, you aren't chayev for the matanos. So here, because you redeem this animal that had kedushas damim, you are chayev b'matanos. That's ramification number two. Ramification number three is now that it's total chulin, v'yotzin l'chulin, accordingly, you can do what you want. And there are about four examples of that. Lihigazez, when you take off the giza, when you take off, you shear that animal, so you can keep the wool, That is yours to be used. Ulehaved, you can work that animal, no problem. It's a chulin animal. Uvladan, and when it gives birth, the vlad is chulin, the animals, v'chalavan, and the milk that comes from the animal. Mutar lachar pidyonan, once you have been poed to this animal, you've been redeemed. That is all fair game. That is all chulin, and that is all yours to be used without restriction. Now, talking about the same animal, this animal that had the mum, the permanent mum, before it was donated to the Beis Hamikdash, the Kedushas Damim animal, before you redeem it. Now, we're talking about even before you redeem it, and certainly after you redeem it, but even before you redeem it, because this animal is only Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas HaKutkuf, Vashochten, Vachutz Pater, somebody who shechts it outside of the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, is going to be potter from kares, because we only say you're violating the isra on for kares purposes of shchut echutz, bringing a korban, but bringing it outside of the Beis Hamikdash if it is kedushas haguf, but not kedushas damim. Ve'ein osim tmura, the concept of tmura is if you have an animal that is kedushas haguf, and you try to replace it with another animal, another korban, on replacing A with B, both A and B are kodesh and have to be brought as korbanos. That does not exist when it comes to an animal that's kedushas damim. If you try to replace A with B, they don't both become holy and korbanos, only A, not B. Vein osim tmura ve'imesu yipadu. And in addition, if the animal died, you can still redeem it. And what that means is you can't eat it. So what's the use when you are going to redeem this animal that had kedushas damim? So you're going to have to, your use is, you can't use it, you're going to be feeding the meat to the dogs. So that would be permitted because it's kedushas damim. It would not be permitted if it's kedushas haguf. Now, there are a couple exceptions. We're still in the reisha here. The reisha we are talking about when we donated an animal that already had a mum, and that's why it's kedushas damim, and we're lenient, and we saw various leniencies on it. Chutz mina machor mina maaser. The exception to the rule is that even if you had an animal that the blemish came before the sanctity, that typically, and that's what we saw in the reisha, it is kedushas damim. There are two exceptions, a bechor and a maaser, that are going to be kedushas haguf. So if the animal that was born is a bechor, a bechor is holy when it is in utero. So accordingly, even if it is born with a mum, this firstborn animal, male, it has a mum in it, but it was born with kedusha already. And the same thing with the meiser, the pasuk when talking about meiser behema, that every tenth animal that was new that comes out of the gate is designated as holy. It says that applies whether it is blemished or not blemished. For both of those, accordingly, we have a special din that even if the blemish was originally before the kedusha or at the same time of the kedusha, nonetheless, those are going to have kedusha saguf, not kedusha stamim, and accordingly, the halachas of the seifa are going to apply to it. So let's move on to the seifa. Now we're talking about kedusha saguf, and we're going to be able to go much faster because we're going to see the reverse of what we saw in the reisha. Kol shekadam hekdeshan es muman. If the kedusha, kol shekadam, that kedusha happened before the mum, so you donated an animal to the Beis Hamikdash, and thereafter the serious blemish happened. Or mum over lekdeshan, or even if it had a mum over, which is a blemish, but it's not fatal. It's one that will get cleaned up. It will have a refuah shleima on that mum. So even when you donate an animal that has an impermanent blemish, it's going to take on kedushas haguf, and you're going to be able to bring it as a korban. Ulachar mikan nola lehem mum kavua v'nifto, or to either of those animals, the one that had no blemishes or only had a non-permanent blemish, you donated it to the Beis Hamikdash, and there afterward it got a permanent blemish. So this is kedushas haguf. It's not kedushas, it's a higher level, kedushas haguf, and there afterward, because it got the mum, v'niftu, and you redeemed it. When you redeemed it, although it does go to chulin, it doesn't go fully to chulin. And accordingly, we have certain limitations on this animal that had a kedushas haguf. And this is going to be the reverse of what we saw before. Because there is still some remnant kedusha, Turin min habechora, if the firstborn animal of this now redeemed korban is a bechor, you're not chayev to to bring that korban, that bechor, that firstborn animal, and give it to the kohen, because it's considered, it has remnant kedusha, it was kedusha seguf, even though it was redeemed, still, you don't have to bring the bechor, umen mina batanos, and also matanos, as we said in Mishnah Aleph, and only applies to chulin. So even though you redeem this animal, that kedusha seguf, nonetheless, it is potter absolved from matanos, veinan yotzim the chulin, and accordingly, it has to still remnant kedusha, so it's not considered chulin for purposes of lihigah, in order for you to be able to take the shearings of it, that's not going to be yours. So they have it to work the animal, it can't be worked. Vladan, and Vlad is not going to be chulin, vachalavan, and the milk is not going to be yours to use. Asur, la'achar pidyonan, it is, those are asur to you, even after redemption and before redemption. Now we're reverting to another situation. Same animal as gedusha sagdu, goof. But it has that blemish, that permanent blemish, but you haven't redeemed it yet. Vashochtan b'chutz chayv, anyone who does shchutes on it outside of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be chayv karis, because even though it is an unblemished animal, but it hasn't been redeemed yet, shchutes chut applies. Vos and tamura, and before its redemption, if anyone tries to do a tamura, replace A with B, both A and B are going to be kaddish. V'imesu yikaveru, and in addition, if it dies, because this was a kedusha saguf, it is still kedusha saguf, even though it's blemished, but you haven't redeemed it yet, so accordingly, you would not be able to redeem it and feed it to the dogs. Your only option here is to bury it, says the Bartanura as follows on this last, v'imesu yikaveru de'ein podim es ha-kochim l'achilam l'klavim. We're not permitted to redeem the kochim, and this is still kedusha sakuf, and you can't redeem it now after death in order to feed it to the dogs. You can't eat it, so what are you going to do with it? Feed it to the dogs. But because it's still a kedusha sakuf, we are not permitted to redeem it anymore. It just simply has to be buried. Mishnah Gimel, also a complicated Mishnah, is building on what we saw in the prior Mishnah, where we said that if we have a Bechor that has a Mum, it is a blemished Bechor, then it is absolved from giving the Matanos from that Bechor to the Kohen. We saw that in scenario number 3. First, we said right before that, Chutz mina Bechor mina Maser, that the Bechor and the Maser, they wouldn't apply to the first and second scenarios in the Reisha, they would apply in the Seifa. And then we said, as part of the Seifa that applies to the Bechor and the Maaser, that they are Pturi mina Bechora umin hamatanos, which means mina matanos, that the matanos that we're talking about, they don't have to be given from a Bechor that is a Balamum. So Mishnah Gimel builds on that concept, and we have a Bechor, Shinisara Bemea, we have a Bechor. It's a Baal Mum, so it's not Chayiv in Matanos, and it got mixed in with 100. The Gemara explains, as it's fairly complicated, we are dealing with a Bechor that was owned by a Kohen. You have to give the Bechor, when it doesn't have a Mum, you have to give it to the Kohen. It was given properly to the Kohen, and then it received a Mum. So now, because it has a Mum, the Kohen is permitted to sell it. And he did sell it to somebody. He sold it, for example, to a Yisrael. Yisrael has this Bechor that is a Baal Mum, and then it got mixed in with 100 other animals. And they can't tell which is which. Tosfos says, explains, how can it be you can't see which is which? It's the Bechor has a Mum, and the others don't. So Tosfos explains, they all have the same Mum. And that's why they're all mixed in together. You can't tell which one is the Bechor and which the rest of them are the regular animals. Bizman Shemeya Shochatin Es Kulan, at a time that each of those 100 that this Bechor Baal Mum got mixed in with, as long as those are all owned by separate owners. We have 100 owners that have animals together, and the Bechor Baal Mum got mixed in with them, Pochim Es Kulam. None of them now have to give the Matanos when they shecht their animals. They don't have to give the Matanos to the Kohanim, because each one can say, the one that I have in my possession, because they all got mixed together, each one is going to take one. The one that I have in my possession is the Baal Mum, is the Bechor that's a Baal Mum that I don't have to give Matanos from. And the concept here, when somebody has a monetary dispute and wants to make a claim from somebody else, hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya. So if any coin wants to come and claim that you are obligated to give me of that animal my matanos, the owner can simply say, I prove it that I'm chayv matanos, because I'm of the view that this animal is the Bechor Baal Mum, and I am not obligated to give you. On the other hand, continuing in that scenario that we had that Baal Mum Bechor, and it got mixed in with 100, but the second scenario is it didn't get mixed in with 100 owned by different people, separate owners, but Echad Shochet Es Kulan, if one owner of the 100, and now that Baal Mum of the Bechor got mixed in with 100, but they're all owned by one person, Potrin Lo Echad, he gets out of giving the matanos from one of his animals, but the other 99 he's going to have to give the matanos from when he shechs those animals. Okay, continuing. Next scenario is there's actually a pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Gimel, Vizem Mishpat HaKohanim Me'esam, talking about the giving of the matanas, and it says as follows, that the matanas don't have to be given when it's not me'esam. So me'esam, it has to be given. If it's not me'esam, it doesn't have to be given. We learn from that a kohen is not obligated to give the matanas. He doesn't have to give it, for example, to another kohen. And a nochri, a non-Jew that has an animal, and for example, if we have a Jew shechted for the non-Jew, that again, the animal that's owned by a nachri, there would not be an obligation to give matanos to the kohen as well. So ashochet lekohen ule nachri. Somebody, for example, in Yisrael, he's doing shechita on behalf of the kohen. It's the kohen's animal, or on behalf of a non-Jew. Patur mina matanos. If somebody comes up to that shochet and says, "Give me a kohen," says, "Give me the matanos," he can say, "It's not mine, it's owned by a kohen, it's owned by a nachri, and there's no obligation to give matanos from this animal." And even more so, v'amishtatef imahem, if somebody entered into a partnership with either a kohen or a non-Jew so that they jointly own this animal, also there's no obligation to give the matanos, because even just having a partner with a kohen or a nachri, a non-Jew, would absolve the obligation for matanos. But what you have to do, we're concerned people are going to see, there's a Maris Ayin problem. They're going to not know that the partner, that this Yisrael, for example, has a partner with a Kohen or a Nachri. They're going to think he's not giving the Matanos. So Tzarek Yershirsum, he has to mark the animal in a way that people are going to understand that he has a partner who is a non-Jew or a Kohen, and accordingly they will understand that is why the Matanos are not being given from that animal. Now we have a situation, another situation, a Kohen selling an animal to a Yisrael, not a Bechor, but just selling an animal to Yisrael. And the Kohen, instead of wanting to sell the entire animal, he says, "I'm going to sell you the animal, but I am retaining my ownership rights to the matanos, to those areas that are the matanos, those three areas." So accordingly, vim amar chutz mina matanos, if the Kohen, when selling the animal to the Yisrael, says, "I am maintaining my ownership of the matanos," Potter mina matanos, the purchaser, he doesn't have to give the matanos, he doesn't have to give the value of those gifts, because he never owned these matanos. When he bought that animal, he owned the animal except the matanos, and accordingly he has no obligation to give matanos, or a financial obligation to give matanos, because he never owned those parts of the animal. Continuing, if we have somebody who's going to buy an animal from a butcher. Butcher in the olden times used to own the animals, and they used to sell the animals or parts of the animals to people. So somebody comes to the butcher and says as follows, Amar mechorli bnei me'eha shel para v'hayu bahen matana. Somebody comes and says, "I want to buy the innards of the para, of the cow, of the animal," and included in them was the matanas. That was the fourth stomach, which is one of the three matanas, and the keva in Hebrew, or the mau, M-A-W in English, and he included in the bundle that he is buying. So he's buying a bundle of items, the innards of the animal included is part of the matanas. So they set a price for it. So the price that was set, obviously, you can't sell the matana to somebody who's purchasing, because that's owned by the kohen. So you can't sell it to your purchaser, your Yisrael, who's buying the innards. So no snow the kohen. So this purchaser who bought the whole bundle of innards, including one of the matanas, he has to give it to the kohen. It's owned by the kohen. Ve'eno menaka lo min adamim, and the owner of that, or the butcher, who slaughtered it and sold the innards, he doesn't have to give him a discount, because the price that they agreed on, it would have never included a price for the matanos, for that part of the for the fourth stomach. He would never have sold it, because that wasn't owned by the butcher in order to sell it. So when that price was sold, He was selling everything else except the matana. So the matana, when the purchaser has it, he has it and has his possession. It's not his. He doesn't own it. He has to give it to the kohen, but he also doesn't have a discount on it because the price that was set didn't include money for the matanos. On the other hand, lakach imenu b'mishkal, if the purchaser here, when he goes to that butcher, he's buying it in a different fashion. He's not saying, give me everything and setting a price, but he's buying it by the scoop. For example, he's paying a set price. I will pay you per pound $10. And here, if the seller indeed sold, including weighing out one of the matanas when he's buying, or you know, one of the gifts that should be going to the kohen, and he charged in this situation, he charges the purchaser for it. That's you can't sell something you don't own. Nos on the kohen, so the purchaser has to give it to the kohen because the purchaser doesn't own it. The matanas are owned by the kohen. Umenake lo min adamim, and the butcher would have to give a refund for the purchase price back to the purchaser, because this butcher, he sold something that was stolen in his hands. He's not allowed to sell the matanas to somebody. It has to be given to the kohen. Then here he weighed it. They set a price. He sold it for a price because he's selling it by the weight. And accordingly here, the seller, who is the butcher, he would have to give a discount. He'd have to give a refund back for that amount that he charged that purchaser for the matana. Mishnah Dalet is going to start out by teaching us when the obligation to give the matanos, that's the foreleg, the jaws, and the stomach, when does that obligation kick in that it has to be given to the kohen? And it says, we'll see shortly, the obligation is triggered by the shechita of the animal. And the mignafka mina is, if somebody had an animal when he was non-Jewish and then converts there afterward, is he going to have to give the matanos, the foreleg, jaws, and stomach, to the kohen or not? So it depends what happened first, the shechita or the geirus. Mishnah Dalet, ger sheni skayer v'hai salo para. If we have a ger, a convert, he converted, he has an animal, he has a para, he has a cow. Nishchata ad shelo niskayer pater. If he did the shechita before the geirus, so the shechita is what triggers the obligation of the matanas, but if he was a non-Jew at that time, because he only converted there afterward, poter, he's not going to be required to give the matanas to the kohen. On the other hand, if it's the reverse chronology, mishnis gayer, if he first did the conversion and then only thereafterward did the shechita, so minishkayer means he did the shechita only once he converted, then chayav, then he's going to be obligated to give the matanas, because the matanas, the obligation to give the matanas, was triggered with the shechita once he was already a Jew. How about if it's a suffek? It's unclear. They don't know what happened first. Did the shechita happen first, or did the gerus happen first? So here it's going to be potter as well. He's not going to be obligated to give the matanas. Why? Because of the famous rule, shamotzi mechaveiro alav araya. If somebody wants to make a claim against somebody else, then that other person is muhsak, is in possession of the item. As here we have the ger, who is in possession of the matanos, and if a kohen wants to make a claim that he is owed it, hamotzi mechaveiro, because the plaintiff would be the kohen, he has to bring the proof against the defendant, that you have to pay me, give me the matanos, and obviously the kohen has no proof for this. Alav arai, he has to bring the proof. Without proof, in the absence of the proof, the muhsak, the person in possession, is going to retain the possession of the items. He's going to stay the owner of it. Accordingly, he is potter. There is no payment coming to the kohen with the matanas. Continuing, we have been talking about the matanas. We've been talking about the three parts, the three different areas that are given, the foreleg, the jaws, and the stomach. And the stomach is fairly understandable. That's the fourth stomach that is given by the matanas. But what we have to define is what part of the foreleg, and at the end of the Mishnah, we'll define the jaws as well. We're going to start out in defining Ezehu Hazroa, what is the foreleg that we are talking about. So just to get a little bit into how the leg of an animal is built. We'll talk about, for example, a cow, a large animal. So in contrast to a person, then we have two parts of the leg. We have the bottom part of the leg, then we have the knee, and then we have the top part of the leg. So when it comes to the matanas, when we're talking about an animal, there are actually three parts of the leg. Effectively, there are two joints. If you have three parts of the leg, the bottom part of the leg would be connected to a hoof of some sort. So that is bottom part, that's number one. And then we have some sort of joint. And then we have the middle part of the leg, number two, and then we have another joint, and then we have the top part of the leg. So that top part of the leg is actually attached to the shoulder blade when we're talking about the foreleg. So the foreleg is the right foreleg. You don't get both the coin, get the right foreleg. So Ezu Hazroa, which part of that foreleg are we talking about? Are we talking about level number one, before the first joint, or between the first joint and the second joint, or the top part, the third part connected to the shoulder blade? So the Mishnah tells us, min haperek shel ha'arkuva, we're talking about the joint that is attached to the bottom bone. So we're talking about effectively the bottom knee. So we're not talking about level number one, bone number one. We're talking about starting with the joint. So the bottom, the middle bone, ad kaf shel yad, all the way up to the shoulder blade. So it's talking about the middle bone, and the top bone would be considered the zroa, and that would have to be given as the matana, one of the matanas, to the Kohen. So the middle and top parts of the right foreleg, but not the bottom part. And in addition, not only is this yushids, this definition required when it comes to the matanos, but also v'hu shel nazir, as part of the purification process of a nazir, when he goes through the niziros, the nazir has to bring a number of karbonos, including a korban shlamim. And in addition, there also, when it comes to that shlamim of the nazir, that zroa, that right foreleg of the animal, is given to the Kohen from that Korban Shlamim. And it's going to use the same definition. It's going to be the middle part and top part of the leg, but not the bottom part of the leg. Ukenegdo baregel shuk. And now we're actually going to say something that doesn't exactly relate to our discussion of the matanas. But what it's talking about is, in all other times that we have a Korban Shlamim, the Kohen is to receive the chazeh and the shok. The chazeh is the breast, the shok is the leg, the back leg. And when it comes to the hind leg, we are saying that the same thing will apply. In all other shlamim, it's going to be the right back leg, the right hind leg, and it's going to be the same part of the leg. It's not going to be the bottom part of the leg, but it's going to be the middle and top parts of the leg. So that's in other korban shlamims. And when we have other korban shlamims, kenegdo, in the same area, meaning in back of it, the right side, berega, when it comes to the regal, that's the hind leg, that is going to be the definition of the shok. As we said, the coin receives both the chazeh and the shok. Then the shok is going to be the middle part and the top part, just like we define the zroa for the purposes of the matana. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on this point. The definition of shok, when it comes to what part does the coin get of other korban shlamim, Rabbi Yehuda omer shok, min haperek shel harakuvi, agrees that it starts with that bottom joint, but it doesn't go all the way up to the shoulder blade, or here it wouldn't be a shoulder blade, it'd be all the way up to the animal. Ad sovech shel regel, it's only going to go up to the second joint. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is the definition of shok is not the middle and top parts of the shok of the hind leg, but it's just the middle part of the hind leg, not the top part, not the upper section of the hind leg. And now that we have defined the zroa, the foreleg, now we are going to define ezehu lechi. What is the jaw that we're talking about? What parts of the jaw? What areas there? So the Mishnah tells us, min haperek shalechi, which means the perek is the joint of the jaw. That's talking about where the jaw meets the temple. So that is the joint of the jaw. So where those two meet. Ad pika shel gargaris, until the opening of the windpipe. So what the Bartanura comes and tells us is what you're going to do is you're going to chotech klape mata, you're going to cut down. So basically you're going to draw a line from the perek shalechi, from that joint, the jaw joint, where the jaw meets the temple. You're going to draw a line all the way down to the opening of the windpipe, kind of cut from one to the other, and everything below that is what is going to be considered the lechi. That is going to be the jaw that would be given to the Kohen as part of the matanos.